From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. One of my favorite music events takes place in New York City at the top of the year. Global Fest is a celebration of music from around the world, and this is the festival's 15th year. The gathering happens in just one evening. 12 bands performing on three stages this year in Midtown Manhattan at B.B. King's Blues Club, its smaller sister venue in the same building called Lucille's, and then directly across the street at the Liberty Theater. I was there this past Sunday along with around 1,500 people, including NPR Music's Anastasia Tsoulkis, Afropop Worldwide's Banning Air, and WFMU's Rob Weisberg, home of his show Transpacific Sound Paradise. Before we paint a bigger picture of the night, do we all agree on the band that knocked us all out?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
And who can say the name?
Jupiter and Oquest.
They're Congolese. I'm going to start off. We're going to play music. Here we go. Wow. The name of that song is Mo Sansu. How would you say?
Sounds good to me. I can't tell you what it means.
Banning Air, we do know what the name of the band means, yeah?
Yeah, Jupiter is the name of the band leader, and he's an older guy in his 60s. The other guys are all much younger, in their 30s. And Oquest is a word that means nourishment or food. And they're interesting. The Kinshasa scene is incredibly competitive. You can hear the high level of musicianship of these Congolese musicians. But these guys are rebels. They don't play the standard Suku sound. They don't sing about love. They sing about the problems of the poor, street-level stuff. And it's much more, they're using different rhythms and bringing in a lot of kind of rock effects and stuff, but it's still very much Congolese music.
I feel like they're interesting because they're mixing up some of the tradition with very contemporary beats also, so it's not just a pure old-school Congolese guitar band like we might have known and loved in the 80s. You hear some of that in there, like on that first track on the guitar, but then you also hear some songs that really driving rhythms, traditional regional music, includes
Absolutely.
Vocals, giving a very contemporary sound,
yeah.
too.
That production edge really makes it sound very fresh and vital in the Love Ways and not a museum piece.
And what about them on stage? The costumes, the facial expressions, the movements, the
and
dancing.
And the size of the lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
Is he gigantic?
9 feet tall.
I was literally right in front of him, and he felt...
Oh,
it must have been at least 6'6".
Yeah. Big guy with a big, deep voice, too. Incredible. And, you know, he actually told me that he grew up in Germany. He didn't come out of the Suku's Congolese music scene. He never played that music.
We talked just at the beginning. I spoke and mentioned there are 12 bands. It's an evening of music from all over the world. And it felt a little different this year. The tone of where we are in this country and politics and so forth seemed to weigh on the evening's music, and especially a band like this from the Congo.
Well, for sure. I mean, one of the things, one of the real driving forces, maybe even the driving force of the founding of this festival 15 years ago, was to put foreign musicians in front, in a palpable, very visceral way, in front of American bookers, the people who book clubs and venues across the country. Global Fest takes place in the midst of this big sort of half month of showcases around a couple of conferences here in New York. But the founders of Global Fest really had the idea of, let's put international musicians in front of Booker so that they can get gigs in the United States. And this was right after 9/11, when it was really hard for a lot of artists to get visas and to get engagements to play here. And so now we're on the 15th anniversary, and we're going and seeing these musicians still getting that goal of getting gigs in the States. In the immediate days of President Trump allegedly calling various countries shithole countries, and to have a gathering of musicians who included musicians from across the African diaspora, right? We had everyone from musicians from Congo, as we just heard, DRC, to American black musicians, to Caribbean black musicians, to Cuban black musicians, and then to have artists from countries who aren't on good terms with the U.S., Iran. Artists of Mexican descent and from Mexico. It struck certain chords that I think no one could have seen coming, you know, even a week ago. And now here we are. And it's hard not to separate those two things in my mind.
Yeah, that's good. And it's even harder now than it was after 9/11 for those bands to tour. The costs of visas have gone up, and these sort of irrational, unexplained declining of visas is almost commonplace now. It's a tough environment, so you have to be brave to book bands like this.
Is that one of the reasons why there is a wealth of bands and music from, has its roots in all over the world, but half of the bands that did play are U.S.-based.
Or right? French-based.
Or French.
There was a bunch of
Paris, because that's easier. Yeah.
But I think, yes.
It's not necessarily easier, but, I mean, certainly for American musicians, it's easier if they're based here or citizens here. But it also, you know, on a non-political, non-logistical level, it speaks to the incredible talent that's here of people who are either first or second generation immigrants drawing on their roots. You know, there are lots of reasons. It's not just because of the times we live in.
In an interesting way, that leads us directly to the guy who opened up the show, Mohsin Namju, who is an Iranian singer but has lived here in the U.S. for many years. One thing, though, to say, it's kind of funny, like, there's kind of a classic trope, the Bob Dylan of X world music descriptions, and he's been called the Bob Dylan of Iran, and there is truth to that. He is... he loves poetry, and he interprets both traditional poetry and his own poetry in his music. But he lives here, and his music is not wholly acceptable in Iran. He had he was sentenced in exile about a decade ago for a song he wrote that was deemed as too critical for a reference to the Quran. But he's a very interesting performer, and he called his album, in a wink and a nod, he has a sense of humor. He's a bard, he's a storyteller, but he called his live album that he just put out last year, Axis of Solitude.
Like Axis of Love, Jimi Hendrix?
Or Axis of Evil.
Yeah.
The rock in me, I couldn't help it. Plus, it was an awful lot of blasting, amazing rock guitar, which is what made me
idiosyncratic Axis vocalist, too. He shares that with Dylan as well.
Exactly.
He's really into rock and blues. He said a funny quote, but he also does a lot of verbal vocal, like where he's singing, like he made a joke saying, you know, don't worry, he's singing sounds and not really words. And he's saying, you know what, I know there's a lot of Iranian folks here, they can't understand the lyrics either, so don't worry.
What should we play?
But it's a fun hybrid mix, and there's a song that really kind of plays that up, and also an element of melodrama that is in his singing. Then also you hear him playing a bit of the traditional sitar, which he features on a lot of songs. And so I have a song, actually the second song he did in the set was called Della Didi. You'll really hear him going pretty wild on his vocal.
Sorry,
a fun artist, and they were having a good time on stage, sometimes, you know, tackling serious and not so serious things.
Can I just try to find the explosive guitar for just one second to give people an idea of contrast here?
Oh, yeah.
He's the kind of artist, really. He's his own. He's like his own personal genre. There's rock, and you know, he loves to rock out. He also can be incorporating a lot of elements of tradition in his music too.
And in a lot of music in these days, in American music, the guitar is taking a back seat to many things, electronics and so forth. That wasn't true Sunday night.
Yeah, guitar sales are down. There's a lot of rhetoric about how guitar is disappearing, which as a guitarist I'm not happy about. But boy, they sure were on display the other night at Global Fest. There was a lot of guitar bands. One particularly interesting one I thought was Del Gres, which is a trio from France, although the leader Pascal is from Guadeloupe ancestrally. And he's making this very interesting connection. You know, he's steeped in all kinds of music that he listened to in his home growing up in France. But the thing that really set him off was when he heard Louisiana, Cajun rock, Creole music, and he made this whole historical connection between the French Caribbean and French New Orleans and the language, the Creole language. He sings in Guadeloupe in Creole. The name of the band, Del Gres, is named after a figure from the 19th century who fought slavery under Napoleon and died, gave his life to fight slavery. And so, again, there's a political angle, there's the immigrant angle, and there's the guitar angle. He's a hell of a guitar player.
And all the bass line was done with a sousaphone?
Yeah, oh, that was great.
Which was really extraordinary.
I know, really nice.
Let's hear a little bit. What do you want to play?
Let's hear that song, Mojodi.
Like that swamp guitar sound.
It
big,
is.
Big, yeah, raw sound.
I was
sound.
Very
it's
confused
nice.
By it at first, but.
Nah, it's, that's what's cool. It reminded me, I'll tell you something, my partner Katie, who has indie rock roots from the 80s, band that came to mind for her, bands like The Gun Club, who took blues and punk and kind of put them together. But here, this is coming through a New Orleans angle with the sousaphone.
Yeah.
I would have guessed they were from New Orleans, not from Paris.
No, exactly, you would. But both the other two guys are French.
Yeah,
so go figure. No boundaries.
Let's stay in that area of the world.
So another of the artists who was there was a woman who goes by La Dame Blanche, the woman in white. And it's a stage name for a woman named Yaite Ramos Rodriguez. And she has pretty serious musical roots. Her dad is the current musical director of Buena Vista Social Club. Mm-hmm. And so if you're expecting kind of laid back, very nostalgic, sweet Cuban music, she is not the lady for you.
She came out holding A big Cuban cigar.
Yes.
Yeah.
She switched between the flute and the cigar. She's very good flute player.
she's classically trained. She studied at the conservatory in Havana. But yeah, she's got the cigar between her fingers as she's playing the flute, which is pretty impressive. But she's got incredible swagger, and she is so playing with like ideas of masculinity and femininity, there's a lot of stuff in how she presents herself that references Afro-Caribbean spirituality, Afro-Cuban spirituality, the Orishas, but she takes on a lot of the elements that would normally men have, and she takes them on for her own. And the music, well, we should just listen to it. We're going to hear a song called Yo Quiero Trabajar, I Want to Work. One of the things that happened with Global Fest this year is that it moved up from downtown into these clubs on 42nd Street, which is sort of the epicenter of the hyper-commercial tourist experience. Apparently, some of the artists, including La Dame Blanche, loved it. A friend of mine stopped to say that he had walked out on 42nd Street with her, and she burst into singing New York, New York.
I mean, where we were before could not be anywhere, but it didn't scream. There were just, all of the lights and everything of 42nd Street just screamed New York.
Even at 15 degrees.
Perfect. I wish I'd heard that. Yeah, I see.
Wow. Actually, it's funny. There was, I was just thinking that, though, there was a lot of strong individual stage presence. I don't know if they got a little extra buzz from Times Square, but, and also, because there was a slight difference this year in that there wasn't any one giant big ballroom stage, so everything was relatively intimate. So there was a lot of energy, a lot of connection between very charismatic front people and the audience, which was nice this year.
And for those who don't know, we've done the show many times, and Webster Hall is where Global Fest had been before, and that's the big grand ballroom stage that it wasn't at this year.
Yeah, so we had a little change this year.
Yeah. Let's go to Brazil.
One artist and band that was really fun for me was Ava Rocha and her band.
Yeah, you talk about stage presence.
Right? Stage presence. She's very theatrical. In fact, her dad is a famous film director in Brazil.
Uh-huh. But
that explains a lot.
So maybe a bit of her theatricality, a lot of movement. She had.
I thought a lot of Bowie, David Bowie, like her hand gestures. I captured one photograph that was almost precisely Heroes, the album cover Heroes.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can think of other people, like Kate Bush or what have you.
Right. But she, in her bodice, she had a bunch of knives and like dinner knives, and they were splattered with paint, right? Well, I don't know, because I only caught the first bit of her set, and I thought to myself, there's going to be some elaborate stage thing with the knives, and I'm going to miss it. So
I didn't see that.
She wore kind of as a mask and headgear, and then used them for gesturing. It was kind of a whole little bit of theatrical
bit. Great voice, though.
Great voice. And interesting,
super
very much.
Dark, smoky.
She's kind of the moment of a certain indie thing that's going on in Rio, which is revisiting a lot of different Brazilian musical eras, influences, and kind of making your own thing through a little bit of a rock and roll slash.
Yes.
In particular, something, Tropicália, which was this both movement and sound in Brazil in the late 60s,
yep,
that was semi-forgotten for a couple of decades and then kind of rediscovered outside of Brazil, has now totally reflected back to
it
Brazil.
It keeps echoing back in various ways, but she definitely had some of that
but
in
she's
her,
one of, she's one of the bands who definitely pulls on that. She's both kind of post-Tropicália, but then she also did sort of punky, thrashy, very fast, kind of post-punk songs. She's got a post-Tropicália, post-punk, and kind
David
of her own
Bowie,
thing.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep coming back to that. No, there were guitar lines that were almost precisely from, like, The Lodger or that period of David Bowie.
Yeah.
So let's pick a song.
Yeah, I thought my pronunciation of Portuguese is not so great. Boca de Seu was a nice example. We could hear a bit of the Tropicália and the rock and roll and other hints of Brazil's great musical legacy. That song so shows a certain side. It wasn't her the most of the punkier songs. It was a little more of the Tropicália, a little bit of samba, a psychedelic kind of tinge to it.
What did she have on stage that she had a guitar.
She had two guitars, although one didn't really sound like a guitar because it was mostly coming through all kinds of MIDI stuff.
Which you heard a lot of electronic flavored stuff that night. I was thinking particularly of Irish music, which I was not used to hearing electronics in traditional Irish music.
So there have been a lot of bands from the UK and Ireland and Scotland that have now started integrating electronics. That seems to be having a moment for sure.
Yeah, this was a band. We were talking now about Yarlith Henderson. So in that band, there was on the right, there was a Moog player, right? And on the left was, I think he had a Nord synthesizer. Behind Yarlith was a fellow with an Ableton rig, which is an electronic rig usually often used in EDM and dance music. He had these two light cubes that could do many things. Looked like he programmed that when he touched them, it would change sounds, basically. It would open and close filters. Another one would show the tempo of the song and drum pads. And then there was, were the Ilian pipes?
Yeah, they were, right?
He played some pipes, yeah, he did, on a couple songs at least.
And then acoustic guitar.
Yeah, they mixed and they had violin. I mean, they would kind of
there was
drift
violin
into a little more, you know, kind of lean different ways. But
Ballads of Death.
Yeah. Doing traditional style ballads. Yeah. creating this sort of very ethereal background for a very, you know, at the same time, he's captured a very traditional kind of old school vocal style. So it creates quite an interesting new sonic palette for those for that song and singing style.
I want to play the song called Fare Thee Well, Lovely Nancy. It's from an album called Hearts Broken, Heads Turned. Not out yet? Out yet? I don't even know.
Out as of last year.
Okay.
Yeah. I think his music is pretty hard to find in the States at this point. At one point, he said from the stage, I'm not on streaming services. My music isn't available through U.S. distribution. Go get at the merch table, hint, hint.
Okay, let's play the song Fare Thee Well, Lovely Nancy.
Fare thee well, lovely Nancy. 'Tis now I must leave you to cross the main ocean where the stormy winds blow.
Garlith Henderson, a golden voice.
So
really
pretty.
Really, really beautiful. He played a gorgeous flute. He played the alien pipes, and he played acoustic guitar, and then he just sang these lovely, lovely ballads. I just thought it was in for traditional Irish music. I'm happy with that, but I got a lot more.
Yeah, that was his U.S. debut, which is always nice to be around to see when people are making a splash, because I think a lot of people really struck by that band.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ELS Studio, a premium audio experience for the open road. With ELS Studio Premium Audio, every musical note you hear plays like a unique combination of artistry, emotion, and engineering. Developed with 8-time Grammy Award-winning recording engineer Elliot Shiner, it immerses the listener in studio-like sound, the way the artist intended it to be heard. ELS Studio Premium Audio, precision-crafted audio performance exclusively from Acura.
I'm here in New York studios with Anastasia Tsoukas. I'm here with Rob Weisberg and Banning Air. We're talking Global Fest 2018. One of the quieter moments on a beautiful night of 12 bands was a choir from Georgia and not the United States.
I wish everyone could see Bob like gesturing in a southwards direction. No, we're talking about former Soviet Georgia. Sure. And there's an incredible singing tradition there. I had the incredible privilege of spending a summer in Georgia back a long time ago, and it's unbelievable how integral singing is to everyday life. You sit down at dinner with people, and it goes for hours and hours and hours because everyone has to drink a lot and toast each other and toast everything. And there's a song that goes with everything. And there's this.
Can we do that?
I would like that.
Yeah, it would be good.
And there's this, as you'll hear from this music, there's an incredible tradition. There are many, many kinds of vocal singing in Georgia. One of them is this incredible tradition of what's called polyphonic singing, so multiple voices, not just a group of people, but people singing different lines in incredibly wonderful and strange harmonies.
And so unified. It's just like one thing. It's just so, so enmeshed. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it goes back literally centuries, centuries, centuries. Mm. To the beginning of Christianity in Georgia, like 3rd century, 4th century, probably even farther reaching further back than that. Mm-hmm. So these are people who have a long tradition of learning to sing together.
And on stage, we're looking at six men wearing
shochas. They have these long black tunics with cartridge, like bullet cartridges, at their shoulders,
and knives at their
waist. Those tall black boots that you see a lot of the time in countries around Georgia. It can be pretty intimidating. And then they have these incredibly sweet melodies.
Gentle.
And they would unsheath those knives sometimes. And I was wondering why. But it was kind of interesting.
Stagecraft.
Yes.
Let's listen to this tune from the Barry Choir. I don't know whoever out there is listening on good headphones, but the resonant deep frequencies, I don't know if it's cigarette smoking or what they're doing there, but the depth
of the wine. It's the wine and the food.
Wow. It was so beautiful.
Such a beautiful tradition. It's interesting. There's been a little flurry of Georgian vocal polyphony groups kind of taking this tradition, which, as you say, Anastasia, is so ingrained, and taking it to the world in the last few years. And it's interesting. This group was founded by a guy who was in the state song and dance ensemble, but also been in kind of crossover rock bands and Georgian folk jazz projects. But then he sort of started this band about 5 years ago with a real mission, you know, to want to bring out a group of, I think he felt his, you know, kind of image of an ideal Georgian group, doing both sort of social songs, I think, like maybe that one would have been, Christian songs, and also makes the point that they do a lot of pre-Christian or pagan era songs as well. We heard all of that the other night. It's really beautiful and interesting music. And, you know, it's interesting, too, this tradition in Soviet Union era, a lot of folk traditions were hurt.
They were Sovietized.
They were Sovietized. Georgia managed to kind of, this vocal tradition stood on its own and survived the Soviet era.
Yeah, and I should say that Sovietized means like they would make them big and glossy, smooth out and sort of westernize a lot of the harmonies. And if they were great musicians, like, even bigger groups were even better, right? Like, remember Mystère de Voix Bulgare?
From Bulgaria,
and, yeah, the Bulgarian. Around. Yeah, they were on The Tonight Show, and there were like 40 of them. That's kind of what I mean by Sovietization. Wow. The bigger, the better. And in Georgia, you know, even when I was there, when it was sort of the last tattered era of the Soviet Empire, they had kind of managed, at least from what I saw, had kind of managed to hold on to lots of things and sort of go their own way. You know, it was pretty easy to get Finnish VHS tapes on the black market, and you know, they were sort of doing their own thing even before the Soviet Union officially crumbled. And you know, and since then they've had an incredibly difficult era. There's been war, there's been political chaos, and through all of that they've managed to hold on to these traditions and astonishingly beautiful traditions.
Yeah, in fact, as you say, because of that, there's a really strong sense of Georgian identity. And I think that's part of the impetus for a lot of these new groups that have been turning up lately.
That was probably the oldest traditional music of the evening, and the most updated musical tradition is what ended our evening, which was this incredible mix of Indian music with tabla and sarod, and then a Los Angeles hip-hop singer.
A rapper.
I found it not always successful, but always intriguing.
Yeah. So the group is Grand Tapestry, and there are two traditional Indian players, but young guys. Alam Khan is the son of the great sarod player Ali Akbar Khan, who had a school in San Francisco during his later years. Salar Nader is a virtuoso Afghan tabla player. From a very young age, he was being picked to play with some of the great singers of Afghanistan. And when I first met him, he looked quite different, and he was very traditional and you know, devoted to the tabla tradition. So it was kind of a surprise to see him up there with electronics and playing with a sarod, which was being fed also through electronics, and this rapper who was kind of like quasi Eminem sort of style of rapping, and but very positive. Yeah. It was all, they were really putting forward this
love
message that it was love. And
I love the interaction between, well, it's more the reaction to the tabla player to the singer.
There were moments there was one moment where I really heard them sync up that I thought was the most interesting moment for the vocals with the tabla.
Me too.
Where you know, the tabla was doing a really fast percussion run as per the tabla.
As they do in
sync, and that was pretty amazing.
Those were the amazing moments, that interaction. It wasn't so much the vocalist reacting to the music, but the music always reacting to the vocalist that I heard.
That's interesting, because what did you say? Is that a little bit of a Hindustani kind of...
I was going to say that's super traditional, right? Because
an instrumentalist would know to react to vocal, because vocalist itself an instrument.
The vocalist is king. The instrumentalists are there to support the singer. And... it is incumbent on the instrumentalist to be listening and reacting in the moment to what the singer is doing as improvisation. So there's a real natural tie between hip hop and rap and vocal improvisation. There's a solid framework there.
That said, it was very unusual.
That's true.
Come from the center of the chest to bless the world. Heartbeat battling and making a bed to curl up. Consequence to never dance is this. You gotta move the spirit to get the people to near it. I fear it not. Never been afraid, the personality is brave. You can never catch me or put me in a cave. I will never be the one to bury in the grave. Put me in a rocket ship and put me into space. Music is the way to God. I would like to think I'm odd. heady like a Nicaragua. I'm a thicker man, I think a lot. Many, many, many men pass away in innocence, not really making any sense. But these are the main events. I will not run away. I can be anything. Manifest pathways. Walk along, make it rain. Been one to incorporate things that don't mesh. Mother Earth knows this. No closeness business in my family vicinity. I keep it in focus. Trinity, divinity, eliminating all waste, all tasteless hatred, vacay. No resentment in the tenements of the soul cavity. I carry out in the basement. Experimental, external, infernal, internal minerals in a through ear grab. Fear mongering, wandering, parasites drowning. The sound washed up on a shoreline. Your mind, my mind, one shoreline, one core line. Reaching to the heavens up. Universal Valentine, one heart, one love, one tongue, one intellect's insight. God is a God body with the God hand. Reaching out like the Godfather with the broadband, all time, space, all land, all mankind, all landlines, rigging at the same pitch, digging in the same ditch while we cling to our pain pictures and remain sick, tainted. Paint fists on the walls of the brain cells that you got left after taxation, anxiety, and chemical abrasion. This melody, the enemy of all cavemen, dwelling in the dark, we dispelling on the back of the arc. This art will attract light, like breath to a bagpipe, battery to a mag light, buckle down, hold tight, ride of a lifetime, line after line, rhyme after rhyme, sign that the time is now. Upon us, not upon a repeller. We the kings and the callers. We the queens and the ballers. We the screenplay and holler. In my direction with solace. Meditative and hollow. Filled with universe.
I really thought the words worked in this setting because there's so much space given the instrumentation. And it was so different. It was such a different setting for this sort of rhythmic sorts of singing. So I liked it quite a bit. And, oh, my God, that Sarode was so beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Can someone describe a Sarode to somebody who's never...
It's a string instrument like the sitar, but it has a much more... The body is a drum, like a banjo, so it has a more percussive sound. But also the fretboard is a shiny, smooth piece of metal. And it just has this metallic, percussive... magical sound. To me, it's the most beautiful Indian string instrument.
I have to confess that one of my favorite parts of their set was a part where they just jammed for a few minutes.
It was the classical.
Did the classical. They didn't do a full classical piece, which would have an extended intro and different part. They kind of went right for the gusto. But
yeah. Skip over the alap.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
That was a pretty wonderful moment, minus the singer who, you know, I give him lots of credit because what he's trying to do in that context is both brave and I think oftentimes worked.
I'm not Desi, I'm not South Asian, but I've spent a lot of time in that community. And there's been like this groundswell of musicians of South Asian heritage sort of using their music in really new, interesting ways. And you can look at Red Bharat, you can look at Brooklyn Ragamassive, you know, who are a little different than that, but like using traditional forms and putting them in new contexts that isn't like very commercial.
I guess that wasn't really happening before. There were jazz things like Shakti
and there are jazz musicians of South Asian heritage who have played on it, like Vijayar or Rudresh Mahanthaba or people like that. But to put it in this hip hop, in a way that isn't really, like, I've heard some hip hop out of India that's pretty corny.
This is different.
And it's hard to know what, if any, of the music that we heard in this evening of 12 bands will resonate beyond a smaller community, smaller shows around the country. We did Sing Sing last year, right? This Korean band. Mm-hmm. We did a tiny desk with them, and there were over 1 million views. So it's really hard. You never know. You look at a band, and it's hard to tell where they wind up. But whoever thought that all-female mariachi band would win a Latin Grammy? So you just don't know what's going to rise and take hold. We ended our set. The music of the evening ended with Grand Tapestry, but let's go out on something and somebody describe this all-female mariachi band beyond.
Well, what's great is that they're an all-female mariachi band based right here in New York with members from all over the place, from Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Germany, Italy, Australia, kind of a cross-cultural intersection.
Who doesn't love mariachi? Yeah. I ask you. Mariachi is for everyone.
It is.
And they stand all in a line, so you see them all, and with the uniforms, you know, they're all different, but the uniforms.
Right, beautiful silvery embroidery going down. The big guitar on, is that what that is?
Yes,
gigantic guitar held by not the largest person in the group. It just makes anyone look very small.
I know, exactly. Yeah. They're great to look at. Yeah.
You know what they're named after? The legendary, Toluachi is a flower that's used as a love potion.
Mm. So, all right.
They're having fun with it, and they have fun with the music too. They do kind of the what would you say, the traditional mariachi type repertoires,
but they also do their own compositions, and they put together these very close vocal harmonies that sound like World War II era girl groups, you know, like, it's very sweet.
They threw in a Nirvana cover too.
They teach the audience how to do those whoops, the gaitas, and that creates a lot of excitement.
It's a great group, and they've had some success. They've had some big tours in Europe supporting other artists, and kind of a little bit of a left field hit.
And played with Dan Auerbach is how I first heard of them.
Yeah.
So. Let's go out on a song called Let Down, and not Let Down.
Yeah.
In Global Fest 2018. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Fun.
Cheers. Thanks to NPR Music's Anastasia Tsoulkis, Afropop Worldwide's Banning Air, WFMU's Rob Weisberg. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music, and thanks to Global Fest for putting on such an awesome, awesome show. If you've never been, it happens at the top of January every year in New York City. Go. And we'll put these songs up online if you want to hear them in their entirety. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Belong to me, and to you I was the gold you saw at the bottom of the stream. You were content knowing it was there. You came and tried to force, and didn't that love take its course? I can't give you my heart because I can't share yours. I can't say you let me down any less than I let you down. I can't say you let me down se va a resbalar, todo se va a resbalar. princess, this queen's crown. With the princess, this queen's crown. Oh, 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 this queen's crown. With the princess, this queen's crown. With the princess, this queen's crown. With the princess, this queen's crown. Tonight.